This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Monday, January 20th, 2025. The average price for a gallon of milk in Wisconsin is $3.50. The average price of eggs in Wisconsin, $4.14. And the U.S. unemployment rate, 4.1%. Just to give us a little starting point for the show, we have all kinds of things coming up for you today. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be joining us after the 10:30 news to talk about men and loneliness. And we've heard a lot about loneliness across the country. Mm-hmm. This is something that's affecting everyone in the wake of the pandemic, I think. But particularly men seem to be having a much rougher time with loneliness. We're going to talk about that with Dr. Lierley and some potential things that you can do.
Yeah.
To be less lonely, which is, it's good for you in a number of different ways, and it's good for your health.
Absolutely.
Having friends is good for you. After the 11 o'clock news, we'd like to lighten things up a little bit in hour number two. Our friend David Drake from UW-Madison, it's been a long time since he's been on the show.
It's been a spell.
It has been a spell. He's an expert on urban wildlife management and general wildlife. I follow someone on Blue Sky who has a pet chinchilla named Stella. And Stella's adorable. She's an adorable chinchilla.
Yeah.
It makes when I see her posts, it's like, ooh, I might like a chinchilla. Then I started looking up some fun chinchilla facts. We're going to kick those around with David Drake and talk about why you might not want what would be called a non-traditional pet. Not a dog, not a cat, not a bird.
Why doesn't Jane want a chinchilla anymore?
Oh, there's several reasons, but we'll get around to that with David Drake after the 11 o'clock news. 11:33, it's a new trend for 2025. No buy 2025. So social media influencers and others trying to chip away at their debt. And so there are just some things they will not buy this year in an effort to erase some of that debt. So we're wondering, what would be the thing that you would get rid of to try and save a little money? What will you not buy this year in order to again, just save a little cash? We'll talk about that at 11:33. And we will wrap it all up, as we always do every day, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Not Dead Yet edition. Stick around for that. Wanted to start off, it is January 20th. It is Martin Luther King Day and also Inauguration Day. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But there are a number of things going on around the Milwaukee area if you would like to celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A lot of things have been moved indoors because of the cold. Normally, there's a parade in Milwaukee, but I believe that they're going to be doing a car parade instead. This afternoon at 4 o'clock at the Marcus Performing Arts Center, it is the annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration. This is great. They have local youth interpreting Dr. King's words.
Oh, that's so cool.
Through art, speech, and writing contests. The free event highlights contest winners and focuses on the theme, What Are You Doing for Others?
That's lovely.
It is lovely. Today at 4 o'clock, Marcus Performing Arts Center, the 24th Annual King Day Justice Program and March. That will start at 1 o'clock today. The car caravan at 2:30, again, because of the cold. And King Fest at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society and Museum today from 1 to 5 p.m. It's their 24th annual King Fest celebration, and that features spoken word, drumming, dancers, vendors, and local and national speakers. It is all free and open to the public. And I was just looking at some of Dr. King's So many amazing speeches.
Yeah.
But I found a great article from Oprah, The Great and Powerful O.
Yeah.
And just sharing some of the most amazing quotes, and there are like 50 of them. Among them, from Dr. Martin Luther King, love is the greatest force in the universe. It is the heartbeat of the moral cosmos. He who loves is a participant in the being of God. Another quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., intelligence plus character, that is the goal of a true education.
Yeah.
True peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice.
Yes.
And this, I think, is something I'm going to hang on to for, I don't know, the next couple of years.
Okay.
Let no man pull you so low as to hate him.
That's a very, very important one. I saw one that, because this is usually the day where we see everyone reciting the one thing they think Martin Luther King ever said in his entire life. I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. And there was one about, let me type this one in because I really liked it, because this is, especially as I get older, it's something that can hold on to you. We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Never succumb to the temptation of bitterness. And I think that's an important one, because while I am not a fan of the man who's about to become president again, I never want to say I hate him. I feel like that's too high a price tag. Like, that's too much work, and he doesn't deserve that.
Isn't deserving of that.
But even more so, the bitterness that allows you to move towards things like a cynicism and lack of hope, and, you know, just being in a place where life isn't good and fun.
Everything is dark.
And no one, honestly, and going to what we were talking about later in the show, mental health and loneliness, because you don't want to be the person people don't want to be around either.
And one more quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on today, MLK Day. The ultimate measure of a man and woman is not where they stand in moments of convenience and comfort, but where you stand at chimes of challenge and controversy.
Absolutely.
We're going to put this in our show notes. I will be referring back to this. I know.
We might be painting some of these quotes on the
walls. On the walls, yes, as we go forward for the next couple of years. Talking about the other thing going on today, yes, the inauguration of the 47th president. We can see now we have CNN on here in the studio, and they are gathered in the rotunda of the Capitol building. They moved it inside because ostensibly it's too cold.
It's too cold. It's 25 degrees, Jane.
Yeah, 25 degrees is cold.
Yeah.
It's not the coldest.
It's cold for beginners.
Yeah. I guess I was kind of surprised that all of the manly men, alpha males, testicle bronzing guys don't know about heated vests and heated socks and heated gloves. And granted, it makes you a little bulky.
Yeah.
You know, if you like those nice smooth lines, maybe that would wreck your lines a little bit. But that's left a lot of Donald Trump supporters with nowhere to go, who spent thousands and thousands of dollars to head to Washington, D.C. so they could watch the inauguration. And now it's been moved inside.
And people are unhappy.
Yeah, not everyone is terribly happy about that. Supposedly, this is concern over the crowd because it was going to be too cold for the crowd. Just as a reminder, when he was holding rallies,
yeah,
in 100-degree plus heat,
yeah,
people were dropping like flies. The Coachella rally that they had.
Oh, God.
Where they abandoned people in the desert.
Yeah.
Buses never came back for him.
That's a nice commentary on America.
Just, well, he's very concerned about you.
Yeah.
So, and it might have been windy and that would ruin the hair. Don't want that to happen. Something happened, too, this morning that I don't know that everyone saw coming. President Biden, on his way out the door, issued preemptive pardons.
Yeah.
To head off politically driven prosecutions. Among those getting pardons, General Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. By the way, who has had dust on his boots as a general?
Yes.
He's been serving our country for a long, long time. Pete Hegseth, who now wants to head up the Department of Defense, kind of insulted all of the previous heads of the Department of Defense by saying, yeah, we need someone who's had dust on his boots. Well, General Mark Milley, I think, has more accumulated dust than you.
I couldn't even watch. I tried to watch some of that hearing. It was just so angry. It was just, it was so rageful that someone could sit there so smugly and so disrespectfully and speak in such a tone as to pass yourself off as an expert. You should know that you don't belong there. I mean, my goodness.
So among the preemptive pardons issued by President Biden earlier this morning, General Mark Milley, Dr. Anthony Fauci, longtime government scientist, all the members of the bipartisan House committee that investigated the January 6th attack on the Capitol, including former Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney. Mr. Biden said in a statement, "I believe in the rule of law. I am optimistic that the strength of our legal institutions will ultimately prevail over politics, but these are exceptional circumstances. I cannot in good conscience do nothing. Baseless and politically motivated investigations wreak havoc on the lives, safety, and financial security of those targeted individuals and their families." This not sitting well with the incoming president. Big surprise.
Oh, no, man.
Alyssa Farah Griffin, who worked in the Trump administration, said this morning on CNN that these pardons don't surprise me, but I actually think President Biden might have done Trump a favor with this. The American people elected Donald Trump to deal with the border, cost of living, not to be going after Tony Fauci and prosecuting four-star generals. As much of his base might have liked that, most of the country would hate that sideshow. And so this allows him to, he can rant about it, but now he can't move forward with the sideshow.
I got news for you. And starting at 11:01 our time, it's 4 years of sideshow. This isn't, we ain't gonna, price of eggs ain't going anywhere. Groceries ain't going anywhere. All these things that they talked about that they bellyached over that are real problems. It's sideshow for the next 4 years.
Jeannie, we were just going to come back to you. If you want to call back, we will come back with you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Talking about when we kicked off the show, Martin Luther King Day today. It's January 20th. Mm-hmm. It is also the inauguration of Donald Trump, the second inauguration that will happen a little more than a half hour from now, 11 o'clock our time. Trump expected to take the oath of office. So we're just talking about President Biden on his way out the door, issuing a number of pardons, including for Liz Cheney, Dr. Fauci, and also General Mark Milley. I find this interesting. Remember Kevin McCarthy, beleaguered Speaker of the House?
Yes. Old 15-time McCarthy.
Yes. Ha. Old Mike McCarthy this morning on those pardons by President Biden. It raises doubt on what they did.
Wait, say that one more time.
It raises doubt on what they did.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's only applied in this case.
Yep.
Let's talk about some of the people that Trump pardoned in his first term. Roger Stone, mm-hmm. Paul Manafort, who's the Mike Flynn?
Mike Flynn, Steve Bannon.
Steve Bannon, that's right. So does that raise doubt on what those guys did or just in this case? I'm assuming it's only this case.
Only this. It's only ever this case because, you know, and in the first term, he issued 144 pardons. I mean, no one will, I don't know if anyone will come close to Joe Biden now, and he's sitting at like 3,200. But he's just, I mean, he's, whereas Biden took time to look at the issue, which is a lot of nonviolent drug offenses.
Right.
Donald Trump is going to pardon his buddies, his sycophants.
Who will do things for him?
The J6 traitors.
Which could happen this afternoon.
Yep.
He could pardon all the January 6th attackers this afternoon.
Yeah. And so this is about how it benefits him. And I think that quote from Kevin McCarthy completely applies to what's possibly happening now.
Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning, guys. A breath of fresh air from Matt Nair on air. That's what I got to tell you. Because this is the first time I have my TV turned off.
Yeah.
I will not participate and support a guy who's a criminal, who lies, cheats, steals, abuses people. And I'm so sad. I got teary-eyed when I saw Biden leaving because he had a mess to clean up. And now I hope those people that stormed the Capitol are going to be holding this guy accountable for his behaviors and what he's done to the people. And it was really sad for me to see all these tech people there and the wealthiest people in the room. And guess what? All his supporters don't get to come and get to see him live. I hope they're really excited about this guy who totally turns their back on and won't even invite him and put on some warm vests that have heaters that'll give me a break. So anyway, thank you so much, guys. Keep up the great work. Oh, and he did also pardon other criminals, like the guy that was taking money to fill Obama's Senate seat. Don't forget he piped.
Rob Blagojevich.
Yes,
Blagojevich.
Yes. We forgot about that one, Jeannie. Thank you for the reminder.
Yeah.
Thank you for your kind comments. Hey, we're just trying to wade our through this along with everybody else.
Yeah. And by the way, those J6 traitors he might be pardoning, they're not going to hold him up to anything. There's nothing he can do that won't let them down. He'll defend everything he does. And these will become his personal around the country little army. Like
His own private army.
His own little militia.
You bet.
Because if they get pardoned, they're going to walk around the world like they are invincible and also insufferable.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join us. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I think this is going to go down in our history as one of the biggest days of disgrace. And that man taking an oath, he doesn't know what an oath is.
Except to himself. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm with Jeannie. I'm not watching 1 second of this. I will not support a convicted rapist, a con artist, a liar. I'm going to start calling him Pinocchio because everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. I am so disgraced with this country right now. I just don't know what to do anymore. I'm just totally disgraced.
Well, I think you're doing the right thing, Cindy, by turning off the television. And I also believe that that's another reason why they moved the inauguration indoors, because he can't go through another. This was the smallest crowd in history, because that's what it would have been.
Yeah.
Even with his supporters in Washington, D.C., with nothing else to do today because they can't get in, the streets of D.C. were empty. As the motorcade was coming through, completely empty.
D.C. is, I've been to the inauguration before, and D.C. becomes like an island.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cindy. Really appreciate it.
Just to kind of echo what you said, Cindy, Sue from Franklin listening on WAUK texted and says, why even bother having him take the oath. He's not going to honor it. And that's very true. You are taking an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. He holds nothing higher than himself. Not his wife, not his children, not anyone, not his biggest billionaire supporters. It's the Constitution of Donald Trump. Well, that's what he'll defend.
Yep. And Ann from Chippewa Falls on the line. We don't have a lot of time left. Ann, real quickly, what did you want to say?
Yes, I agree with all the last callers. Even, you know, the people that are Trumpers or MAGAs, whatever you want to call them, Trump saved TikTok so they could watch the inauguration. That was his comment. Like, people, wake up. Like, they're following this narcissist to tell them what to do, how to do it, where to do it, and they're excited about this.
Yep.
I don't know where our thinking has gone, and I'm just embracing. I'm just like, I'm not watching anything either. I'm just going to let them. That's the new book I read, Let Them. Let them and let me, and that's what I'm going to do. We can only do it, you know, to help ourselves.
Absolutely. And I don't mean to cut you off, but we're right up against the clock here. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, as always, for listening. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll be back with Dr. Kristen Lierley. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm out in the cold.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I don't mind when you say that you're going away. I just don't want to be lonely.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, the aftermath of the fires in California is going to be a long, long road.
Yeah.
I read something this morning that 11 schools have been destroyed, more than 30 child care centers. They're going to be rebuilding and dealing with this for a really long time. So if you would like to help people impacted by those Southern California wildfires, check out Convoy of Hope. It's a nonprofit that helps provide immediate relief to people in need. Just go to our website, civicmedia.us. There is a banner at the very top, and that just click on that, and that will take you to some links if you would like to help support Convoy of Hope, which is giving assistance to those folks in Southern California devastated by those wildfires. Just one little thing. Again, the inauguration ceremonies are underway. Donald Trump expected to be sworn in shortly after 11 o'clock. One side note that I wanted to mention, Speaker of the House, Moses Mike Johnson, wanted to have all the flags at full staff for the inauguration, even though they're supposed to be at half staff because of Jimmy Carter's death. But apparently it's so cold in Washington. It's only like 27 degrees. It's not that cold. But the ropes are frozen. So the flags can't be risen. So I don't know. I don't believe in signs, but, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Meanwhile, Jimmy Carter's sitting in heaven sipping an iced tea going, well, what a lovely day.
That's nature. Joining us right now, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here doing double duty. She was on Pat Kreitlow's show this morning. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Hey, friends. I'm so good. How are you?
We are good. Thank you for joining us. I've been seeing a lot of things, and we've talked about loneliness before and how loneliness is a big problem for folks in this country. It's not just one specific demographic, but I think it is especially hitting men hard. The loneliness epidemic, the whole pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, all of this. And I've seen a number of articles about loneliness and men. And then I saw this posted by John Fugelsang, who is a comedian, very knowledgeable guy. And he posted this on Twitter that really started me thinking about this. Imagine defending toxic masculinity while also complaining about a male loneliness epidemic and not seeing a connection. And we're seeing all kinds of things. Mark Zuckerberg, for example, thinks that one of the problems with his company Meta is the absence of masculine energy. I think a lot of the corporate world says Zuck is pretty culturally neutered. Masculine energy is good, and society has plenty of that. But I think corporate culture was really trying to get away from it. I think having a culture that celebrates aggression a bit more has its own merits that are really positive. Oh
my God. Aggression.
Yeah.
That's a strong word.
Yeah. So I do think there is a tie with this whole toxic masculinity and all of that. There is a tie between that and men's loneliness.
Absolutely there is. Well, I mean, first of all, let's just back up to all of us, because loneliness is an epidemic, and we know that mental health crises and mental health issues are at an all-time high in this country. In fact, the Surgeon General came out a couple months ago and said that most parents are actually in crisis every day. I know.
Really?
Like, this is, yes, people are stressed to the max. They don't have the resources that they need in order to be mentally healthy. That affects your physical health. That affects how you engage in your communities. It affects everything about you. So this isn't just men. But since we're focusing on men, let's talk a little bit about how society sets this expectation that men need to be hyper-masculine and aggressive and macho if they're going to be real men. And we see this stereotype really reinforced in political terms.
Yes.
This is everything that Donald Trump and Fox News and all of those far-right groups are really promoting. Like, you're not a man if you don't flex, if you don't own a gun, if you're not being aggressive, if you're not somehow like sexually dominant, if you like homos, like, all, you know, all of those super negative things. They need it to be so binary. Either you're a masculine man or you're not. And that couldn't be further from the truth. If you are a human living on this planet, you know that people have a wide range of emotions and they need to be able to express those emotions. And so it doesn't work in this current political context, and it's clearly not working in society.
Well, even last year, and we had quite a few laughs about this, and I find it fascinating and really hilarious that Fox is the arbiter now of what makes a manly man, especially Jesse Waters. But, you know, men, real men don't use straws, Kristen.
Oh.
Because President Biden used a straw to drink a milkshake, and apparently you're just supposed to down the whole thing because manly men don't use straws. Sorry, guys. I don't make these rules.
I have a thought about why that is, but why is that?
I follow your logic there. So there's this article in Psychology Today from John Patrick Hatcher. Why are men so lonely? The top five ways men can make friends and live longer by doing so. Because as you mentioned, Dr. Lyerly, loneliness takes a toll on us physically.
Mm-hmm. Have you talked with men in your life about this? Like, Greg, I'd like to invite you to the conversation.
Hi, I'm a guy.
Hello, manly man. Come into our discussion.
I was wondering when I'd be invited to this topic.
Like, when you talk to men about this, they have a unique perspective, clearly.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is we have a clear perspective because we think about these sorts of things when you live in that kind of world. If you are a man, and for the sake of all language, and just we're talking about identifying men, you know, the if they live in that world that manly men are manly and all the things you all just said, then they don't really prioritize their feelings. They don't put them front and center. They prioritize the feelings that the aggressive feelings, because they feel like if they express themselves in that way, that's how men are.
That's how a man behaves.
We're either quiet or we are, you know, destroying things with our words or our fists and things like that. It's such a stereotypical way of looking at it. But then if you were like me, I'd like to think someone who thinks about their feelings, thinks about how to express them. You seek out other men who feel the same way. And like, I don't know about, I can't speak for women, but you know, I assume that both of you have close female friends,
yes,
that you can share with, and that's great. And that's wonderful. And you should be able to do that. When men have close male friends where they can be vulnerable, share, be emotional, and trust, there's something that feels so special about that. Like I have some male friends who we tell each other how lucky we feel to have each other in our lives. I don't know if women do that. I think that women do that because you might say, like, I'm just lucky to have you in my life as a friend. But there's a deeper layer, I think, for men where we, and I came from a home that encouraged crying. I was never told not to cry. My father gave me kisses and hugs and told me he loved me and he was proud of me. But I still operate in a world where I'm very afraid to share how I feel. I'm very afraid to open up to other men. Not because I think they're going to call me gay or a woman, but because I don't know if they feel comfortable reciprocating those feelings.
Sure.
So it's really hard to reach out to men. You have to be really, really careful. But when you find those connections as guys, it's very deep and very important. And you want to be able to, you know, like, express yourself and also appreciate what you have. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think everybody needs 1,000 friends.
No.
I think if you have 3, 4, 5 close friends in your life, you're going to be grand. But I think if you're a man, that's got to include, like, another guy where you can sit down and talk to and really, you know, connect. I don't have a brother. I don't have any brothers.
Right.
So for me, that connection comes from friends, and it's very, very important. And I think that, you know, this toxic, hyper, ridiculous, almost comical masculinity I see on social media, like I look at it, I'm like, guys, like, it's okay to say you're scared. It's okay to say you're wrong. Why are you like, I want to sit them down and be like, hey, man, let's just have a cup of coffee. Like, you can be vulnerable. I won't tell anyone.
Right, right. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, we're talking about loneliness, and in particular, men and loneliness. This article in Psychology Today says that more than 1 in 4 men under the age of 30 report having no close social interactions, and it even gets worse as men get older. Mm-hmm. 855-752-4842. Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say about this?
Good morning, folks. Great show. And by the way, Dr. Lyerly, I did support you as best I could here. Touche. I wish it would have gone a different way. I'm looking at this from two different demographics. Myself, I hang in a very, very Republican enclave here. And a lot of these individuals, if you're in a group, say we, a bunch of us guys go for a fish fry, well, it's all macho, bluff, and bluster. But individually, if you get these folks one-on-one and really have a good heart-to-heart, you'd be amazed the walls that come down and the emotions that come out and the empathy and sympathy towards their kids, their grandkids, mm-hmm. the yep. whatever. The other demographic is my son, who's in his mid-30s, wonderful kid, very smart. He just lost one of his best friends, unfortunately, in a very abrupt, brutal way. I'll just leave it at that. And beyond this other individual that's no longer around, he really doesn't have anybody. And so I try to be the sounding board, but I'm a dad.
Yeah.
And you're only going to open up just so much to dad.
Yeah. Right.
And I feel, I empathize, but, you know, young guys, they really struggle nowadays because of social media, I'm convinced. If it wasn't for the texting and the Facebook and the this and the that, they might actually be going out and playing ball, shooting darts, going to a saloon or mat, I mean, whatever. But they would be out in the public talking to people. Now they're sequestered.
And so, so isolated, right, Rob?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even myself, if I don't push, you know, I get out to the radio station and I work with the students and work with some of the older folks. That's kind of my social endeavor.
Yeah.
Beyond that, it's just car guys. And we go out for a fish fry once a month kind of thing. I'm not lonely. I have 10 grandkids, so I'm not lonely. But I can relate to those folks that don't have any family structure. It's hard.
Yeah. Rob, I'm curious, and we don't have a whole lot of time before we got to go to the break. That posturing when you're together as a group, you said, you know, with this group of guys, if you break it down to one-on-one, they will be more honest and forthcoming about emotions and what's going on in their lives. What is it about that dynamic when you're in a group that you can't show that? Is it the fear of judgment from the rest?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a macho ego thing. I can't say that women can truly empathize with that. Guys can. There's a whole lot of, you know, male patriarchal dynamics with that. We are tough. We are strong. We're the breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
We don't show weakness.
Right.
And once you get them out of that mob mentality into an individual, that's where it gets different.
Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you so much for your input. Really appreciate it. We're going to keep this conversation going. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest, Chief Morale Officer for Civic Media and Matt Nair on Air. And we're talking about an article in Psychology Today about men and loneliness. And loneliness is a big problem in this country, but specifically for American men, men who are faring the worst. More than one in four men under the age of 30 report having no close social connections. And it gets even worse as men get older. This is not good for us. Loneliness is not good. If you want to check in, we'd love to hear from you. Randy from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Randy. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say about this?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the last caller's comments. I think that part of the problem we have societally is, first off, men aren't encouraged to be vulnerable,
nope.
Right?
Right.
Secondly, they're not taught from their parents and role model too that vulnerability has, you know, positive impacts, right? Like, how can you connect with people if you can't be your authentic self? And vulnerability is part of that.
Yep.
Agreed. 100%, Randy.
Yeah, definitely, Randy. You need some template to follow, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So how did you learn empathy?
School of hard knocks, I think.
Someone yelled at you, be empathetic! Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it has to be. It kind of has to be the fact that if we're not taught to do it.
Or encouraged to do it. Like we don't say this is a positive attribute.
No. Yeah.
Right. And it's seen, you know, societally as weakness.
Right.
Right. For a man to show empathy. Right. And
yep.
Part of the problem, if I'm being frank, part of the problem with this issue between domestic violence and the abortion issue is, you know, sort of kind of rolled all into this, the accountability of men for their responsibilities and their actions. We're all responsible for what we do, right? But making the connection between your vulnerability and your ability to have a conversation about something without striking out in violence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't know how to use your words.
Yep.
Is critical.
It makes those are really good points, Randy. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate you joining us and sharing that. But yeah, you're right. We all have to be taught. We all have to see examples.
Yeah. And like I said,
I think you're muted, Kristen.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm not.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
We have to stop thinking of it in this binary way where we're either strong or we're weak. Mm-hmm. We can expand our emotional repertoire.
Yep.
We can allow ourselves to feel certain ways. And that doesn't mean that you are, you know, crying every day or that you have one person that you go to just unload on. It means that you are able to have conversations and you've got people in your life who help you feel whole and help you express those emotions and make sure that you feel supported and valued for the person that you are.
Mm-hmm. All of you.
Yeah.
All the parts of you. Thank you so much, Randy. Again, really appreciate it. Brian from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for joining us. What's your take on this?
Well, for one, I'm LGBT. Came out when I was in high school, sophomore year. I'm now 39. And I grew up in Kenosha in farm country where back then you didn't come out to your friends.
You were alone.
But it's funny because when I came out years later, most of my friends in high school were like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like it was no big deal. And it's like, if I would have known that back then,
would have been a whole different experience for you, sure.
And that really articulates the loneliness cases. Like I can't only imagine, Brian, you feel like you're the only person in your school. And then you find out, oh, I had a group of people who understood and were fine with it.
Right. And I mean, that's the other thing, too, is I have straight friends that I chill with all the time.
Yeah.
We'll go to the bar. We'll go out to eat. We'll play football or, you know, toss the baseball around or go to a sports event. And I'm just one of the guys.
Yeah.
I'm not any different.
Right.
And I wish more people would be like that. And I've even had some of my straight friends say, I love you. And it's not like in a way I would look at it, you know, if I'm talking to, you know, another gay man.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, we care about you. We know you're having a tough time. We love you.
That's so important, Brian. Thank you for sharing that. Really appreciate it.
Brian, I agree. That's something that I do with all my friends, but especially my male friends. When I give them a hug, I tell them, I love you. And they always say, I love you back. There's a strength in there. There's a bond in there to know there's no doubt. I love you.
And all of you.
All of you. And you are, I'm here for you. So yeah, those are wonderful words from men.
First ever segment. No, that was great. And obviously this is resonating and we should talk about this again. We will bring this back.
Yes.
Because we have news coming up next. Dr. Kristen Lierley, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. Really, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Always a blast, friend.
And when we return, David Drake will be here from UW-Madison talking about critters. Should you in adopt a pet chinchilla? We'll kick that around. On the way, you're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.